One day in 1937, I had a meeting with Herr von Ribbentrop, German ambassador to Britain. In one of my fortnightly articles, I noted that he had been misrepresented in some speech he had made. I had, of course, met him several times in society. He now asked me whether I would come to see him and have a talk. He received me in the large upstairs room at the German embassy. We had a conversation lasting for more than 2 hours. Ribbentrop was most polite, and we ranged over the European scene, both in respect of armaments and policy. The gist of his statement to me was that Germany sought the friendship of England, on the continent we are still often called England. He said he could have been Foreign Minister of Germany, but he had asked Hitler to let him come over to London in order to make the full case for an Anglo-German entente, or even alliance. Germany would stand guard for the British Empire with all its greatness and extent. They might ask for the return of the German colonies, but this was evidently not cardinal. What was required was that Britain should give Germany a free hand in the east of Europe. She must have her Lebensraum, or living space, for her increasing population. Therefore, Poland and the Danzig corridor must be absorbed. White Russia and the Ukraine were indispensable to the future life of the German Reich, of more than 70 million souls. Nothing less would suffice. All that was asked of the British Commonwealth and Empire was not to interfere. There was a large map on the wall, and the ambassador several times led me to it to illustrate his project. After hearing all this, I said at once that I was sure the British government would not agree to give Germany a free hand in Eastern Europe. It was true we were on bad terms with Soviet Russia, and that we hated communism as much as Hitler did. But he might be sure that even if France were safeguarded, Great Britain would never disinterest herself in the fortunes of the continent to an extent which would enable Germany to gain the domination of Central and Eastern Europe. We were actually standing before the map when I said this. Ribbentrop turned abruptly away. He then said, "In that case, war is inevitable. There is no way out. The Führer is resolved. Nothing will stop him, and nothing will stop us." We then returned to our chairs, now not only a private member of Parliament, but of some prominence. I thought it right to say to the German ambassador, in fact I remember the words well, "When you talk of war, which no doubt would be general war, you must not underrate England. She is a curious country, and few foreigners can understand her mind. Do not judge by the attitude of the present administration. Once a great cause is presented to the people, all kinds of unexpected actions might be taken by this very government and by the British nation." And I repeat it, do not underrate England. She is very clever. If you plunge us all into another great war, she will bring the whole world against you, like last time. At this the ambassador rose in heat and said, "Ah, England may be very clever, but this time she will not bring the world against Germany." We turned the conversation onto eating lines, and nothing more of note occurred. The incident, however, remains in my memory, and as I reported it at the time to the Foreign Office, I feel it right to put it on record. When he was on trial for his life by the conquerors, Ribbentrop gave a distorted version of this conversation and claimed that I should have been summoned as a witness. What I have set down about it is what I should have said had I been called.